are you listening?
Mary, I've said it once, I'll say it again. I can do two things.
Two things at once, yes, I know. But we really need to talk. And Joseph?
Yeah?
I need you to listen.
I am listening so hard right now. You can't even imagine how much I'm concentrating on you and the words.
I'm overwhelmed by your concentration. Can you just stop for a second, please?
Mary, I would love to stop for a second, but I can't.
Why not?
We're gonna be married soon, and I just want everything to be perfect.
Joseph, I love your heart. I really do, but you know, not everything has to be perfect, and that's okay, because we don't know what life is gonna throw at us, you know?
Right, but I still want a house worthy of you, and to do that, I've gotta work, because a man's...
Man has got to have a plan.
Have I mentioned that before?
A time or two.
Mary, I have so many plans for us. This table, this is where we're gonna have our meals together, and I've made it big enough for to seat some little ones. For down the road, of course.
About that.
I'm gonna put that chisel.
Joseph, I need to tell you something. Something unbelievable.
Did I put it in that shelf?
I was visited by an angel.
Yeah?
And he told me that I was highly favored.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like a dream until he told me something. And the instant he said it, I knew that it was true.
I just used it. I just had it.
Joseph, are you listening to me?
Yeah, that sounds really great.
Joseph.
Got it.
I'm pregnant.
Wow. Luke 1:26-38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this in the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Communication is tough, isn't it? Even in marriage with the person you know the best, it's very, very challenging. They say that the actual words that come out of your mouth are only a fraction of what all of communication is. You have to pay attention beyond just the actual words to all the other auditory and visual cues that the communicator is giving. You have to look at tone and volume and body language and the context of what they're talking about in order to capture the full meaning of what they're saying. And think about how complex the process of communication is. I'm trying to communicate something to you, which means I have to take the thoughts and feelings that I have in my head and in my heart and try to formulate them into the language I've grown up learning, into words that will be sent out through my mouth that has to, all the muscles and everything in there in my tongue and the shape of my lips have to be proper so that that word can be formed properly, and the sound waves go out into space and they hit your ears and go inside and they rattle through the cobwebs and whatever's in there, and then somehow that needs to be processed into your brain that translates it so that you can understand maybe what was in my brain. That's a complicated process. There's so many things that can go wrong in that process. Think about written communication. It's often even harder because you don't have those visual and auditory clues to help you interpret what's being said. So grammar and punctuation become very important, don't they? Consider this first statement that's on the screen. Let's eat, Grandma. So in this context, we're at Christmas dinner and the turkey's ready and it's been carved and everything's set at the table, and we go over to Grandma and say, "Let's eat, Grandma." And she comes over and has dinner with us. In this second statement, let's eat, Grandma. Grandma is Christmas dinner in this. Right, so punctuation is not only important, but it saves lives, right? Okay, so communication is just difficult. And we saw in this video Mary trying to communicate to Joseph her pregnancy. Now, we don't actually get in the Bible that actual conversation, so the writers of this skit kind of took it upon themselves to come up with a potential scenario about how this went down, but I'm sure it was a very interesting discussion, how she broke it to him and how he responded in the moment. Now, she's trying to put words to what happened to her. Joseph isn't listening very well, and that's part of the thing with communication. Sometimes if we don't understand what's being communicated, it's not necessarily the communicator's fault. It's just because we haven't listened very well. We're not paying attention. We're distracted. And I wonder how many times I've missed a message from God because I wasn't listening. How many times that I've been too distracted with something that I thought was more important in the moment so that I didn't have my ears and my heart and my mind open to what God wanted to say to me. You know, was Joseph's, I don't know if he's building a table or what he was doing, was that more important than what Mary had to say to him at that moment? Well, he thought it was until the very last moment. But that's the same with us and God. He's trying to communicate with us constantly. And sometimes I think we miss out for a long time because he's just slowly, quietly trying to speak and he's just waiting for us to listen. I also believe sometimes he changes his tactics. There's a theologian named Al Sterling who said, God will speak to you in one of two ways. He will whisper in your ear or smack you upside the head with a brick. Listen for the whisper because the brick is going to hurt every time. Has anyone ever been hit by the brick? Yeah, I've been hit by the brick. I had a friend come to me once. He said, I think God's trying to say something to me. I said, oh yeah, how do you know? He said, well, this week my dog died, my girlfriend dumped me, and I crashed my truck. I said, well, you better start listening pretty soon, right? You know, that's not always God speaking, but for him, he just knew that God got the brick out because he just hadn't been listening. God is speaking. Are we listening? You know, the birth of Jesus really is a story of God communicating with the world, God communicating with us. Hebrews chapter 1, the first verse says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. He has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus. And we read in John's Gospel in the first chapter, the very first verses there, in the beginning was the Word. A word is a form of communication. The beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. There's this Word. There's this method of communication that somehow is with God, but also is God. And from the very beginning, is also eternal. We don't quite understand it at this point in the passage, but in verse 14, John tells us the Word became flesh. that God didn't just send us a text message. He sent us a person. And when God opens his mouth to speak, the person of Jesus comes out. Because a person, a life, is much easier to understand and comprehend than just mere written words. And the word he does give us is only to point us to that person, Jesus Christ. God speaks and Jesus comes out. The word became flesh. Through Jesus, God is speaking. He is the ultimate communication of God. Through Jesus, God is clearer than he ever has been. Now, what's the most basic message that God is trying to communicate to us through Jesus? What is the foundational thing he's trying to tell us? Well, if you think about this symbol of a baby, what really does a baby represent in a family? A baby represents the love of the two parents. You know, when you get married, you are expressing your love one-to-one. My love is expressed to her. Her love is expressed to me. When that marriage is consummated and from that comes children, a very unique thing happens. Two people who are expressing their love merely to each other now partner that love and redirect it toward another. And it's the ultimate symbol of that love between two people, redirected to love a third. And it's amazing because that third person has done nothing to gain that love, other than just the fact that they're your child. I mean, when I met our firstborn, I just loved him immediately. But if anyone else had put my wife through the pain and anguish he had put her through, it would have been a very different story, right? He didn't earn my love in any way. I always find it amazing how mothers love their children right away. They just, oh, wow, I love you with all you've done to me. And it's a very long time before that starts to pay back, doesn't it? I'm hoping it eventually does. Anybody? No? Nothing? But that's the amazing thing about that kind of love, is it's so one way in the sense of you've done nothing to earn our love. You're just our child. You're my child, and I love you just because you're mine. And that's so symbolic of what Jesus came to tell us. In the very first moment of his life, he's showing us that this is a communication of God's love. Jesus, the baby, becomes a symbol of the love God and humanity share. Just like parents come together to love a child, humanity and God have come together in Christ. Christ has brought our love and our relationship together. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Many of you know that scripture well. It's his most basic message to us. Through Jesus, he loves us and he wants a loving relationship with us. And there's no one in here who's an exception. There's no one in here who's done anything that can cause God to love you any less. He loves us. Now, this announcement to Mary about the birth of Jesus is the announcement that love is coming into the world and being poured out to all. So how does it show us that, though? How does this announcement that the angel comes to give Mary show us the love of God? First of all, we see the love of God through just the conception of Jesus. How he was conceived. We read, Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." We talk about the virgin birth, and sometimes we go, why is the virgin birth such an important thing, and it's held in such high esteem? And Mary says this to the angel, like, how's this going to happen? And can we just all agree that that's a really good question? I mean, other people question an angel and they get in trouble. But I think the angel's like, okay, that's a good question. You know, like, this is legitimate. I'll answer it for you. God's going to do this for you. The baby would not be conceived in the normal human way, but God would do a miracle to conceive this child within her. The miracle that is only possible by God's initiative. This is so important because it shows that our salvation is not our own initiative. It's not our own doing. It's not something that we produced, but God is the one who initiated salvation. God is the one who planned salvation. God is the one who implemented it and carried it out through Jesus. that he is the one who produced a Savior for us. See, true love is not based on performance. True love doesn't say, I will love you if you do such and such. I will love you if you do this for me and do that for me. But true love is given regardless of circumstances. God didn't say to us, you'd better fix this. You'd better produce for yourself a Savior. I sure hope somebody among you can do something good enough to make me love you again. But true love initiates. True love takes the first step. True love says, I will act before you act because I love you. I'm not doing this because you have earned it. I'm not doing this because you deserve it. I'm doing this just because I love you. See, God initiating our salvation in Christ is a great example of his love. If you and I want to show someone this Christmas that we love them, that means we initiate. That means we give without the expectation of receiving back. That means we go to them. That means we're the first to engage. We're the first to apologize. We're the first to offer love. We're the first to give, not waiting for someone else to be first. The virgin birth shows us God's love. But the second element of the conception of Christ after the virgin birth is this. Verse 35, the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. The Son of God. God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son. The term Son of God is actually a term of divinity, a term that represents Jesus' nature as God in the flesh. The Son of God is also God. Some older translations translate this verse, the only begotten Son. God's only begotten Son came into the world. You see, God didn't create Jesus. Jesus isn't a creation. Jesus was begat, right? It's a very different thing. He didn't create him, he begat him. So as an example, when human beings beget other human beings, right? We beget something of the same essence of us, as us. We beget a human. Humans don't begat ferrets or, you know, like horses or, you know, it's not like, what's going to come out? No, it's like we know that what we're producing is of the same essence as we are. So when God begets a child, that child is also omnipotent, eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving. He's the same essence of the Father when he is the Son of God. And that's exactly what the ancient mind would have heard when they heard Son of God. It was very, very well understood that if you are the Son of God, you are of the same essence of God. It shows God's love in a very special and important way. 700 years before this moment, the prophet Isaiah wrote this in 7:14 of his book. He said, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. The word Emmanuel means God with us. That this son, this child, is not just some ordinary human child, but this is God who became a man to live among us. Have you ever felt loved by someone who was never with you? Someone who never showed up? Someone who was never around? See, you can't love someone if you don't show up. You can't love someone if you're not engaged in their situation. You can't love someone if you're not there with them when times are tough. And that's exactly what God shows us in the birth of Christ, that he didn't just stand as a distant God and point things out to us and say, fix that, fix that, fix that, but he actually came into our situation.